It's the weekend, which means it's time for Jill on Money, the show that makes money fun and just happens to answer all your financial questions. Here's your host, Jill Schlesinger.
Welcome back. It's hour number two of Jill on Money. And for those of you who are a bit squeamish about certain words in the vocabulary, please do not write in about the following guest, because Nicole Lappin has written a book and it's called, and I quote, because I am not saying this, Boss Bitch. And we are allowed to say the word bitch on the radio. Mark checked it out. But this is a fabulous book. It is so much fun. It is a simple 12-step plan to take charge of your career. And we're all about this. I love the idea of human capital. Let me do your bio a little bit here. Nicole Lappin is the star of CBS TV's nationally syndicated business competition reality show, Hatch. Why is that the first line? There's so much more to you than that.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I would like to switch it around. Megan, can we rewrite this a little bit? I know. All right.
You're my
anyway,
publicist.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Thank you.
Nicole was the youngest anchor ever at CNN. Then she became the youngest anchor ever at CNBC. She anchored Worldwide Exchange, which actually, sadly, I watched, which means I was up very early.
Started at 4 a.m.
4 a.m. was ridiculous.
Woo!
Contributing financial report to Today and MSNBC. You are Red Book Magazine's first ever money columnist.
That was actually a tough gig to get. I went up and down all the women's magazines, talked to the editors in chief, and they didn't want a money columnist along lines with a fitness columnist and a makeup columnist. And I was like, I want not only a seat at this table, but we need a voice at this table.
Yeah, that's so nuts. Okay, her first book, which was called Rich Bitch, A Personal Finance Guide for Women, was a New York Times bestseller. You are an accredited investment fiduciary. We'll get back to that in a second. But okay, because I'm a snob, and everyone here knows that, I of course really latched on to the valedictorian from Northwestern.
Dude, you're a smarty pants. I'm such a nerd.
But that's amazing. So let's go back a little bit. What's your deal? You traveled, like you seem to like go move around a lot as a kid. And you said you were you're a child of immigrants, right?
Yeah.
So where are your parents from?
From Israel.
Israel.
Yeah.
So why'd they come here and when?
So they both grew up in a kibbutz.
Oh my God.
Back in the day, that was like an orphanage.
Right.
My father came to be a surgeon. He invented bloodless surgery. I know, all sorts of
Brother.
Fun stuff. My mother came as Miss Israel.
Get out. She's a so, beauty queen?
Yeah. I actually judged Miss America this year, which was
God.
Hilarious. I asked all the financial questions.
Yes, the feminist manifesto known as Miss America. Yes. Okay, keep going.
It's not the Trump one. That's
okay,
Miss
I
USA.
Yeah. I got you.
I'm just saying it's a large scholarship organization for women, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, anyway. So, yes, it grew up as a first-generation American. I didn't learn anything about business or money. It was all cash.
You grow up? What part of the country, mostly?
In Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then my father died when I was young. I sort of had a pretty broken home.
That's so sad.
I know. I don't want to get Debbie Downer now.
That's okay.
But it's part of the story.
Exactly. It informs who you are and your path, right?
Yeah. I became a hustler. I mean, I had to start working. I started working when I was 15. I went to school super early. I just needed to...
You have siblings?
I'm actually all on my own. I'm sort of... This is so sad. Like...
Stop
like,
it.
Let's
it's
have
just,
a hug.
Just
I'm like little orphan Annie.
It gives us... The sun will come out tomorrow. It gives us just a little bit of like your background. I think it's interesting to kind of get a little bit of a piece of that part of
Listen, Jill, like I'm the least likely person to become a financial anything. Like my family used cash. You know, I never thought I would be in the world of business and finance. And so I tell other women, if I can do it, like I wasn't dealt a good hand. I played it the best I could. Anyone can do it. Like I get what it's like. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I barely had food in my mouth a lot of times growing up. So, I could do it, anyone
So your mom raised you as a single mom and like
complicated.
We'll get to that after the. You know what? Nicole and I are go out drinking after. I'll tell you all about it
Absolutely.
Next week. Okay. And so you get yourself to Northwestern.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you study?
So I heard, and they remind me every time I pay my student loans, that it's the best journalism school in the whole country.
Awesome.
So we went there, and I took advantage of being in Chicago. And so I got a bunch of jobs in Chicago. And that's actually how I got my first job in business news. I went to a small broadcasting station in Chicago that had a station in Milwaukee. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm ready for big market Milwaukee. I started working in, like, you know, when you're in news, you work in small markets, you make your mistakes and move up. I was in Lexington, Kentucky. I was in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So, yeah, 10 cities in the last 15 years. So, again, I didn't have any connections. I just had it to do it the hard way. And so I went to this station and I wanted a job in, like, Milwaukee. And they said, well, that's, we don't have anything there. But do you know anything about business news? And I was like,
yes,
absolutely. I love business news so much. I needed a J-O-B. And they were like, well, we have a job on this nationally syndicated morning business show called First Business. And we're putting you on the floor of the Chicago Merc.
So awesome.
And I had no idea the language of money. I was totally clueless. I faked it till I made it. I 100% admit that.
Are you a Broadway show fan, or are you too young to actually care about Broadway shows?
No. Absolutely.
You know, there's a show called Funny Girl with Barbara Streisand,
of
who's
course.
My idol. Barbara, friend of the radio show, I'm sure she's listening. In that show, you know, she plays Fanny Bryce. And Fanny Bryce was like the total, like, hustler, fake it till you make it character, right? And the guy was casting this, like, vaudevillian show. And he says, Fanny, can you roller skate? And she says, can I roller skate? And then it flashes to a picture of her, like, basically wiping out and taking the whole show down. So when my family, when we are talking about, you know, sort of throwing the BS and talking your way into something, my dad used to always turn around and go, can I roller skate?
I love that so much. I love that. And here's the thing. I wanted to be super honest about it because we all go through this imposter syndrome and people want to hide that. And I fully admit, like, I didn't know the language of money. You know, we didn't learn this stuff in school. We learned the Pythagorean theorem, Jill. Why do we need that in our lives? I have no idea.
I know.
Why? But we don't learn budgeting or taxes or how to make a business plan, like, way more practical things. And so I realized that it was a language like anything else. You know, Wall Street money is a language. You know, if you go to China and you don't speak Chinese, you'll be super confused. If you go on the floor of the Merc and you don't speak money, you'll be confused. But then I learned the language. You know, and now that, I'm a Rosetta Stone, hopefully, for others.
That's so... Oh, I love that. Nicole Lappin, the Rosetta Stone. The North Star
of
finance.
Sorry, do I have
finance.
To pay, like, some royalties?
I think that's good. I think you should, like... You better copyright that fast. Do you know that my first job on Wall Street, I was a trader on the Commodities Exchange in New York?
Yeah, pork bellies.
Gold, silver, and copper options.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I was like the pork bellies and the...
Yeah. That's... Yeah. I mean, you know, in the New York Commodities Exchange is actually now part of the New York Merc. We kind of merged into them. But anyway, that's quite a place to get thrown to the fire. And so when we come back with Nicole Lappin, the author of Boss Bitch, we're going to talk more about some of the really cool things in this book, the myth-busting Nicole Lappin, the Rosetta Stone of personal and, I don't even say personal finance, let's just say finance
yeah.
and career advice. And host of Hatched and lots of other things. So you're listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. That's our phone number, our email address, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
It's Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Have a question? Call or email anytime, 855-411-JILL, or ask Jill at jillonmoney.com.
You're back with Jill on Money. The phone number here is 855-411-JILL. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. And I am talking to Nicole Lappin. She is the author of Boss Bitch, a simple 12-step plan to take charge of your career. And Nicole has had a great, so far, you're so young. It's like, I can't stand
no,
you, basically.
I love you.
So an amazing career already. What made you want to write that first book, Rich Bitch?
So I was at CNBC from 25 to 27. And as we talked about before, anchoring this global show. So it started at 4 a.m. In New York. It was middle of day of trading in London and closing bell in Asia. And I was talking to the richest, most powerful dudes in the country. And that's not editorializing. If you look at Nielsen, like, that's the audience. I was also doing reports for the Golf Channel, which is the same thing. So they swap for highest net worth viewing audience. Listen, these guys didn't need my help. And when I was 27, I realized that who needed my help was my former self, that girl who was smiling and nodding and not joining a money conversation. And I felt like there was a void in talking to this lost generation at the time. We were in post-recession. Jobs were difficult. Young women particularly were overqualified. And there wasn't a voice that I connected to. There were a lot of experts, so to speak, that were saying, don't buy a latte, buy a house, you know, invest in a 401k or whatever. And at that time, it was a new normal. So, you know, maybe buy a latte and rent a house, or maybe you're freelancing, or maybe you're starting your own thing and you don't have a 401k, or you have another option that you don't know about and we didn't learn about. So I felt like I wanted to fill that void. And, you know, I had no idea if my first book was going to be successful or not. It's the first finance book that swears. I took a big risk.
Which I love. I can't even say that, but I want to read one thing from your own book, from this book, Boss Bitch, which is, I'm not a fan of the fake holier-than-thou voice that some so-called experts take. And that jumped out at me because I do feel like, especially in the personal finance space, that there is like almost like a shaming, finger-wagging quality to it that's so off-putting for many of us. And it sounds like you were kind of also responding to that, like, you know, enough already. Stop with your judginess and let's move on, right?
Yeah, I was like, let's work together. And you know what? It's not about deprivation. It's about aspiration. So I would, you know, get upset by hearing, you know, nickel and dime yourself and that's the ticket to financial freedom. Well, if you change your mindset, I think your finances will follow in a lot of senses. And I look at a financial diet a lot like a regular diet. If you allow yourself small indulgences, you won't binge later on.
In this book, Boss Bitch, when you're talking about career stuff, look what I did. Theater of the mind right here, my man. I'm looking at Mark.
You're the
I'm
valedictorian of life,
yeah,
by the
not,
way, Jill.
No way. So in the book, I squared off and put an arrow, you see, and with my dog-eared copy, because I don't do the Kindle thing when I do work stuff. You write, coming into it, all I ask is that you go easy on yourself. You don't need to tackle it all today. And this is what I boxed off. Steps that you take and the steps that take you where you ultimately want to go aren't always linear. I think this is really important. Can you talk a little bit about that, about, you know, this obsession with like climbing up? Sometimes up is not the right move for you, is it?
No, I think a career, especially these days, is more like a rope swing than a ladder. And we go through a lot of stages in our lives. So Boss Bitch is divided into three sections, 12 steps, like my first book, because it's a recovery program. First step is admitting you have a problem, and we all have problems. Let's get serious. I love talking about my failures more than anything else. And so it's divided into three sections, being the boss of you and your family, being the boss within a bigger company, and then being the boss of your own business. And especially women, we go through a lot of these stages in our lives. I worked for a bigger company. I started my own business. I could go back to working for a bigger company. I could take time to be the CEO of my family, and all sorts of different permutations.
And you have something that BOSS stands for. So can you outline the B-O-S-S?
I know. I'm obsessed with alliteration. I'm obsessed with breaking words down. B is for bold. O is for obsessed. S is for, what is it, strong?
No, self-aware first.
Self-aware first and then strong. And I actually think self-aware is one of the greatest qualities for life and for taking charge of your career.
Now, what do you so before we go into psychobabble rabbit hole as two Jewish women who have probably been in therapy, what do you think it takes to become self-aware? I mean, there are a lot of people out there who are like, I'm self-aware, but they're obviously not. So what is that to you? What does that mean to you?
Yeah, I think especially my growing up and, you know, in my early part of my career, I was pretty delusional about life in general. And I always wanted to whitewash my story. And I always wanted to hide from my failures. And I always wanted to become Miss Perfect Pants. And what I realized is that, you know, it's important to be authentic. It's important to be raw, especially when we're talking about business and money, because it's such a scary topic. So I sort of put my money where my mouth is, and I'm like, I'll show you mine if you show me yours. And that's okay. You can laugh at me. You can laugh with me, as long as you're smiling when you're talking about this, because in the past, as we just talked about, you know, it was this whole idea of like, curl in the fetal position, stock up on water. There's doom and gloom. You're messing up everything in your financial life. And it doesn't need to be that way. It just needs to be a real conversation. And I'm hoping to do that.
We had a guest on a couple months ago, and he talked about failure pornography, that basically everyone's talking about failure now. So I'm going to go into the failure pornography for a second. So when you think back and you talk about failure, or not even failure, but like, you know, we all make mistakes along the way. What is it in your, you know, give me a couple of examples or an example of something that went where you might have screwed up that actually really changed who you've become today as a young professional?
Wow. I don't, how much time do we have, sister?
Well, your time will be up in exactly 3 minutes till the break. So let's go for that.
So I think, you know, first of all, it was messing up the language of money and not asking the questions. It was also not having the boss mentality earlier on. So I have two examples that come to mind. One was when I started on the floor of the Merck. I had this amazing boss who would watch tapes with me all the time. And he brought me into his office one day and he showed me a tape that I was doing about a story on Gillette. And Gillette's a big company at the time. It was his own company before it was acquired by P&G. And I said, well, it's his new razor that whacks off the hair close to the skin.
And look at Mark's face. Like, Mark is laughing and smiling immediately.
And he, you know, I thought I was using a visual word. I went to journalism school instead of like cuts off. You know, I was thinking like, oh my God, I was so clever. And he's like, you're in business news. You never say that. And I was like, oh, you're right. You're the boss. Right. Obviously. And he's like, no, Nicole, you're the boss. I'm not there with you on the floor of the Merck every day. You need to take ownership of what you're saying. And you need to realize that you are the boss. Ultimately, no one sees me on air. It's all you.
But how nice to have somebody who really mentored you and, you know, kind of like honored this, like, hey, I care enough about you. I feel like that's one of the things that's actually missing in the current workplace, which is, you know, we are at a time where so many people are kind of doing this on their own. And to have someone who cares enough about your career and for you to have the wisdom to sit, not get defensive and not freak out and to take that advice and incorporate it, that's pretty cool also. So I think that part of the self-aware thing is self-aware enough to know that you ain't getting through this by yourself. You're going to need other people. Hey, we are talking to Nicole Lappin. She's my new BFF.
Yay!
I feel like she's my younger self.
Spirit animal.
But so much smarter, which is so obvious. I was so not the valedictorian. You know why I got into college? I mean, I was smart enough, right?
You tell.
I played soccer. I was recruited.
Yeah,
that is why. That is why I got into the school I got into. I probably would have gone to a nice school. I wouldn't have gotten into some Ivy League school. Or, as my mother liked to say at the time, it's a good thing you could put a ball in the back of a net. We're talking to Nicole Lappin, author of Boss Bitch, and you are listening to Jill on Money, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email, askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
K, IRAs, refinancing. She covers it all. Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger.
Broadway is dark tonight.
You're back with Jill on Money. This is the program that takes the mystery out of your financial life. I'm Jill Schlesinger, and I am joined by a special guest, Nicole Lappin, who is the author of Boss Bitch, a simple 12-step plan to take charge of your career. And I think what's kind of interesting in this book, Nicole, I like the sort of the three different sections. Being the boss of you, the boss at work, and then the boss of your own business. I want to talk about the boss at work. And I want to tell you that one of the most frequently asked questions that we get from listeners is, should my kid go to graduate school? Or should I pay for my kid to go to graduate school? And if I may, one of the things that makes me made me laugh was this quote. Boss bitches don't need a classroom to get an education. Get the degree of life instead. Moxie and street smarts are the most killer combination out there. Run the math of a graduate degree through for our listeners, because I found that to be just fascinating. Because most of the time, what will people like me, idiots who go on and do like a personal finance segment on their television, will be like, you'll make more money if you get an education over your lifetime. Okay, now give me the counterfactual.
Yeah, so I'm a money girl, and you know, grad school to hide from life is not the answer. You can get that education, as Goodwill Hunting said, for a couple bucks in late fees at the library or join a group or whatever. And so I broke down the numbers. You know, it's been said that having that graduate degree will give you a premium about 800 grand.
You want the actual numbers? I'm going to be showing you the book. Do you know
no,
them
no,
by
I
heft
do.
On that side?
I do. Yeah, 1,000%. So yeah, it will give you about 800 grand and you're investing about 100 grand. Right, in that education. That premium has been said in, you know, in the sort of pre-recession world, which is not the case anymore. And so if you took that 100 grand and you invested it over time, you'd actually make more than $1 million, $1,150,000 approximately. And so if it's a money conversation, the money isn't necessarily there as a premium. Like, really break it down. Don't anecdotally tell me you're going to make more money. Like, really show me. Show me the money, sister.
Absolutely. And you know what's fascinating is, as you said, in a post-recession world, things have changed. For example, when I graduated from college and people went to law school, they knew they could make a certain amount of money being lawyers. Number one, many of those people did not actually have to pay hundreds of thousands of dollars of interest to finance that education over 30 years. Number two, they could automatically get jobs, and now they can't automatically get jobs. And number three, pretty much a lot of people were like, you know what, this could be a miserable experience being a lawyer, and I don't know if I want to do it. So what is your advice around, beyond the numbers, what should be the metric by which we judge whether or not a graduate school degree makes sense for us?
So I hire, you know, I have my own business, and that Moxie and Street Smarts is the best MS that I look for. And so when I hire people, I want to know that they've hustled. I want to know that they've had, you know, the degree of life, as we talked about. And so I think, yes, you can't be a surgeon or a lawyer necessarily without going to grad school. But do you need it to even start a business? You know, a lot of friends that I have who've started businesses went to Harvard Business School, and they didn't realize the practical stuff that you figure out on the job. The girls that started Rent the Runway, Jen and Jen, I've interviewed both of them, and they went to Harvard Business School and they learned how to make a business plan. But in the real world, they had a verbal pitch. They had an elevator pitch. You don't learn, you know, that type of, you know, conversation in business school. You learn like the book stuff.
Should you go to business school if your employer is just going to pay for it? I mean, is that a no-brainer? Just do it?
It depends on your own personal situation. You know, if you're sort of doing it to make connections, which is a lot of the reason that people go to business school, you can do that in another way. And you're also taking time out that you could be doing a side hustle, which, you know, I talk about a lot in the book. You could be doing, you know, more within your existing company, of being the boss within an existing company, which I think a lot of people say to me, you know what, I don't want to start a business. And I'm like, okay, you could change your mind. And they're like, I want to work at this company forever. Okay, cool. But, you know, when I worked at CNN, I started Sirius. It was a big company, but you can be entrepreneurial in your own right and own your domain there.
Is there a case to be made, let's say, if there's a career changer, then maybe a graduate degree? But I always kind of think about, well, you know, I was a career changer in a weird way, right? I was a trader, but then I was a financial planner. And then in that case, I remember thinking about whether I was going to get an MBA or not. And my sister's like, oh, my God, you're going to like hate it. It's so boring. And because she had an MBA. And she said, isn't there some like kind of degree or certificate that could kind of bridge your gap? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I could be a CFP, a certified financial planner, or you could be a CFA, a chartered financial analyst. And so I think that in many cases there are certificates or ways to kind of improve your marketability, especially if you are a career changer, that you don't need the school for. I mean, look, Mark, the producer, isn't he cute?
So adorable.
Even though he's in such a bad mood today. He's such a bad mood today. He put me in a bad mood. I stormed out of the studio. I said, you're bringing me down. So now you're smiling.
We're turning the frown upside down.
Yeah, baby.
He's wearing pink. A guy who can rock pink is like comfortable in his own skin.
I know.
I appreciate it.
My Italian grandmother like tisking me all day. So he is doing the CFP program at night. Hey, that's kind of a cool thing.
It's zero amounts of fun going through estate planning and all that stuff. But you know what? It's the same thing. When I was at CNN and CNBC, I looked at executive MBA programs myself. I looked at when I was in Atlanta, I looked at the one at Emory. When I was in New York, I looked at the one at NYU and Columbia. And then I realized that time, you know, I could better spend being entrepreneurial within a bigger company, sort of getting ahead, doing more, you know, series, doing more columns, doing whatever. And then, yeah, I got all this alphabet soup stuff later on.
That's so cool. We're talking to Nicole Lapp, and she is the author of Boss Bitch. Mark, don't forget, we got to put a link to it in the show notes so everyone can buy it. It is a simple 12-step plan to take charge of your career. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about not just about what you can do at work, but like, as you said, creating this ability to maybe explore whether you should or should not be your own boss or start your own company. And I'm wondering whether, here's something to think about during the break, are there certain types of people who are better at running their own businesses versus people who should be working for others? It's Jill on Money. You know what? Money is not scary or boring here. It is a lot of fun, especially when Nicole's
sure
in the
is.
House. 855-411-JILL is our phone number. Our email address is askjill@jillonmoney.com. We'll be right back.
Back to Jill on Money with Jill Schlesinger. Want to get in touch? Call or email any day, anytime. 855-411-JILL or askjill@jillonmoney.com. Just because
you find yourself. You're back with Jill on Money. This interview is flying by. I am talking to Nicole Lappin. She is the author of Boss Bitch, a simple 12-step plan to take charge of your career. If you missed any part of this interview, you have missed something special. So go to the website, jillonmoney.com, click on the radio tab, and listen to the parts of the show that you missed. While you're there, click on the link so you can buy Nicole's book, Boss Bitch, A Simple 12-Step Plan to Take Charge of Your Career. So I gave you a little homework during the break, which is, are there some people who should be their own bosses and some people who shouldn't be? And do you see traits in people that you could sort of say, that person should be running her own business or his own business?
I think there's a misconception that especially for women, you have to be like, you know, a hard... I can't say any swear words there, but you have to be like...
I think you could say a hard ASS.
Right.
I think you could.
You have to be aggressive and like, you know, act like a, you know, a guy or whatever it is. And I actually think that people want to work for people they like and with people they like. That's just the way of the world, is relationships. A good friend of mine is the CEO of Home Shopping Network, HSN, Mindy Grossman. And everybody says... You know, there's nobody in the world that doesn't like Mindy. She also is like the sweetest pumpkin pie ever. And so I don't think that you need to be anything but who you are. You know, she walks into meetings in these like stellar D&G beautiful dresses. Mm. And so she is just who she is. And she's running an amazing company. And so I don't think there are particular traits. And I think a lot of times, you know, being sort of understated, being, you know, sort of a warm boss will get you a lot of human capital that we talked about in the break. And that's your most valuable asset. You know, if you don't have equity, sweat equity is going to, you know, be more valuable. And your people who hustle for you beyond the clock is your most valuable asset.
I love you have three traits that are really interesting in terms of getting a good boss rap on, right? Reliable, R, Good bosses are the go-to people when anyone has an issue. I love that. And then you talk about Allie Webb Drybar, which is like the greatest story ever. I love her story. Then you have A, attention getting, not attention seeking. And I think that's interesting also, because I think there's like a fine line between promoting yourself, branding yourself, being out there, but not trying to always be the center of attention, especially with your own employees, right? And then you say three, passionate. You write, I know every day isn't amazing, but when you are a boss, you sometimes have to put on your lip gloss and get stoked. And you know what? That is true. So when I ran a company, someone gave me very good advice, a.k.a. my dad. And I was complaining to him that, like, we were going through a hard time. And I'm like, I think I said something to the effect of, the staff, they just don't get it. And he's like, you know what? They're not supposed to get it. You're the boss.
You're the leader.
Get it. Like, yeah. Suck it up and be a leader. And don't think about, like, they feel bad. You know, so I think that's really important. I'm wondering, a few minutes before the break, how do you distinguish between a good manager and a good leader?
Yeah, so I think a good manager just gets the status quo done. And I think that good leader, you know, puts out fires before you even know there is smoke. They do things behind the scenes that they don't necessarily take credit for, but they keep the whole machine moving. And I think the idea of, you know, being that reliable person, being the brand, owning it, putting your big girl undies on every single day, even if you aren't feeling it.
Ladies, put your specs on.
I love Sarah Blakely, too, and she's an amazing story. I mean, she was selling fax machines. She started her company, you know, in her apartment. She grew it, and she didn't speak the language of money. She went to all these rooms starting to raise money, and they said, well, what's your exit strategy? She's like, exit strategy. She's like, to look good walking out of a room. And so guys are like, what are you talking about? And so I think the idea of being a leader is to be, you know, authentic and real. And your coworkers can be your greatest. You don't need to be BFF with them, but they can be your greatest advocates. I think, you know, Coco Chanel didn't need to scream in a room to be Coco Chanel. Like, you wouldn't imagine her raising her voice. And so I don't think, you know, you need to necessarily be, you know, some sort of dictator. It's about having collaborative energy. It's having feedback. And please don't have gratuitous meetings. Like, come on.
Oh, God.
That is my biggest
pet
peeve.
Meetings, the worst. That's the best thing that happened to me since I left that world. Like, no longer do I have to have a meeting. Do you want to do the last segment with us? It's the short segment. It's only 3 minutes. But
I want to do whatever you want me to do. I'm staying here for the rest of my life.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
I'm just going to sit here and smell your hair, Jill.
That's so nice. I like that. Megan, relax. Megan's the PR person. She's having like a little mini meltdown. We're having fun. Relax.
No, she's amazing.
We're selling books.
She loves it.
Selling books here. Get out of our way.
Yes.
All right. I'm talking to Nicole Lapp, and she is the author of Boss Bitch, A Simple 12-Step Plan to Take Charge of Your Career. Hey, are you listening to this and you're thinking, I have a friend, I have a niece, my friend's kid is graduating. You know what? Graduation season, before it starts, why don't you just order 10 of these books and get it for every single one of your favorite graduates? Because this is the real deal. This is not some nutty, weird platitude and, you know, how to write a good resume, which is also important, but not as important as this. You're listening to Jill on Money. When we return, we're going to finish up with Nicole Lapin. And, of course, if you have a question, give us a holler. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. We'll be right back. You're back with Jill on Money. And we are finishing this hour with our guest, Nicole Lapin, who has written a book called Boss Bitch, A Simple 12-Step Plan to Take Charge of Your Career. Before we finish up, I want to talk a little bit about, you've got this really fun thing, which is an outline of the types of people at work. And, you know, the subhead is dealing with drama. And I'll start. Office politics are like taxes and PMS. They're going to happen and they're going to be a pain. It's so true. I want to talk about two different types of people that we get in the workplace, the bully and the victim. How do I deal with a bully?
Yeah, so dealing with a bully as a boss, you know, is something that you have to nip in the bud because that spreads. I hate using cliches. It's my least favorite thing. Like, it spreads not...
Like an STD. Okay, sorry.
Better than a wildfire, right? You hear that all the time. And so it's really about, you know, calling them out on what they've said and making sure that it's not going to happen again. And the victim sometimes is not like you don't need to coddle them. You know, sometimes they're just as responsible for the drama as possible. I was just talking the other day about, you know, making nice with your coworkers. And again, people want to work for and with people they have some connection with. You don't need to go TMI about it. But I was on the Today Show and I was talking about, oh, am I allowed to say that? Sorry.
Are they still in business? Okay.
No, I was, you know, just hanging out on the street in front of CBS, obviously, stalking.
You're part of the family now.
I want to be.
Careful.
And there was, you know, an idea of if you want to take the same vacation time as a coworker, what do you do? And I think it's talking out with them. Don't send it to your boss and be like, let the boss decide. Go in maybe even together. The last thing boss wants to deal with is drama.
No drama.
No drama.
No drama. Okay. Thank you so much. Nicole Lappin, the author of Boss Bitch, A Simple 12-Step Plan to Take Charge of Your Career. It's a great book. It's a lot of fun. If you don't like cursing, don't buy it. If you like it, definitely buy it. And this is the end of the program. Thanks for listening. Jill on Money. If you've got a financial question, 855-411-JILL. Send us an email. Ask Jill at JillOnMoney.com. And we will see you next week. Thanks for listening.